promise you can come by and ask, and I can and introduce ourselves more to you. But what I want to do is I want to focus on God's Word to give you some help this morning. My friends, you know and realize and understand that things, the way they used to be, ain't the way they used to be. We are facing situations and things in life that we never expected to face. There are laws and there are things that are being done and placed in our laps, and we're being made to accept the most ungodly abominations that man can ever think of. You are being asked in the state of North Carolina to allow transgender people to use whatever restroom they want to use. In the state of Alabama, we fought that already also. Target has come out and said that anybody who wants to use a particular bathroom is welcome to do that. We had a city in Alabama that said, no, we are not going to allow the Target to do that. So there's a big fight about all of that. We're fighting about homosexual marriage. Is it right? Is it wrong? Is it acceptable? We have drugs running rampant all over the place. People dying of prescription drugs. People dying of methamphetamine. People dying of alcohol. People dying of all kinds of things. People grasping and desperately seeking for an answer to the pain that is raging inside of them. And it seems that everybody is turning to everything else except for the true pain relief, and that's Jesus Christ. But now we as believers, we are being demanded that unless we accept what the world says is right, that we are bigots. That we are being told that we're uncompromising. That we are being told that we are wrong because we don't believe what the world is standing on. I don't want Christianity to be known for what we don't believe in. I want Christianity to be known for what we do believe in. Believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, right here in Bryson City, you are in a spiritual bubble, which is fantastic and not a thing wrong with that. But please be very well aware of this. You will be experiencing persecution and tribulation that you've never experienced before when you decide to stand for Jesus Christ. Now, Peter, in the book of 1 Peter, was writing to a group of believers who were scattered because of the persecution. He was trying to encourage them, trying to help them understand and realize that when you're persecuted, when you stand for Christ, you're going to suffer persecution. So I want us to look here at 1 Peter, and I want us to look at, first of all, I want us to look at who Peter is writing to. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 1 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. This was Asia Minor. These were believers. They were Jewish believers. These were Gentile believers. And they were scattered because they were being persecuted. They were scattered because they were living for Jesus Christ. They were standing for what was right. And they were being driven away from their homes. They were being killed. They were being jailed. They were having things taken away from them because they refused to deny Jesus Christ. Now, I think it's particularly poignant that Peter writes these words. I think as Peter writes these words, talking about being persecuted, talking about walking and not walking away from Jesus, because I remember and you remember and Peter remembered what he did a short time before he wrote these words. And I'm sure that as he was dictating these words to be written down, his mind was going back to that night when he denied Jesus Christ 3 times. And he says, I do not know him. And it said, the Bible says he cursed. He denied Jesus. So why in the world is Jesus now using him to write one of the epistles in the Bible? Brothers and sisters, let me give you hope. Even though you may turn away from God, and even though you may get into a situation in your life where you're no longer doing what you ought to be, you can come back to Jesus Christ in repentance, and He will still use you. Now, I don't know the spiritual belief system of everybody in this very room. I cannot stand here and assume that you are all blood-bought believers. I can't assume that because I'd be very foolish. Some of you may be as close to God as you've ever been. Some of you may be far away from God as you've ever been. Some of you may not even know who Jesus Christ really is. But can I tell you this morning that if you respond to the Holy Spirit and you do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do, that you can make no better decision. Let me be very clear and very succinct with you this morning. Without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are bound for hell. And I don't say that meanly with my finger pointed in your face. I say it lovingly. Please don't go to hell. Jesus died for the entire world. He died on that cross looking out, knowing that He was going to be crucified and die. But my Savior didn't stay dead. He's alive. So this morning, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, if you've never admitted that you're a sinner, if you've never repented of your sin, if you've never called upon Jesus and asked Him to save your soul, today you can do that. Now you may be here this morning and you may be far away from God. You may have been saved at a time like I was. I was saved, but I wasn't grounded in God, and I got away from Him, and you may be running from God. May I tell you, God is calling you back and saying, it's time to come back, child. Don't make God get your attention like He did me. He spoke to my heart, and He got my attention, and He literally said, if you don't come back, you are done. Have you ever seen a video of a dog with a dog chain and a dog collar, and he only has so far to go, and he runs and he gets choked back? Have you ever seen that? Running. That was me. The Holy Spirit yanked a knot in my chain. I praise God He did, because I would not be here today if He hadn't done that. So if you're here this morning and you're away from God, come back to Him. Come back to Him. Repent of your sin. Say, oh God, forgive me. I've been running. I want to come back to You. And then there's those of you this morning who are walking with God on a daily basis. You're praying and you're reading and you're witnessing and you're loving and you're doing everything. Keep it up. Keep it up. Don't stop. That's needed. Because there are people who are watching you. And they look forward to seeing you on Sundays. On Wednesdays, they look forward to seeing you and your walk with the Lord, and you're inspiring them. Don't stop doing right. Don't stop doing right. So the people that Peter's addressing here are those who are believers, and they're being scattered by the persecution. So let me show you here. He's speaking to those people, and he says in verse number 2, he says, elect, these are God, the elect who are saved by God. He says, according to the foreknowledge of God, God knows everything. God is he knows who's going to be saved even before they are saved, even before they're born. God knows it. Now listen to me. I want to be very clear on this. I do not believe that some people are born and destined to go to hell and they have no chance of being saved. I do not believe that. I believe that everybody has an opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. But I do also believe, in acknowledgement of that, that God knows who's going to be saved before they're ever saved. And the Holy Spirit goes out and He draws people to Him to be saved. And we have a free will to choose to trust Him or choose to reject Him. So right now, you have a free will to choose Jesus Christ as your Savior or to reject Jesus Christ as your Savior. He says, and you are the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit that's growing in the Lord and obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. You cannot get away from the blood. I am a bloody Baptist. You have to be covered in the blood. You know, when Jesus looks at me, or when God looks at me right now, you know what He sees? He doesn't see me. All He sees is the blood. The Bible clearly teaches that Jesus is sitting at the right-hand throne of God at this very moment, and he's making intercession for me. He's not only praying, he's presenting his blood. And if you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, God doesn't see you. All he sees is the blood. Hallelujah. That gives me hope. That gives me peace. That gives me strength. And it's not my own merit. It's because I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And then he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again, born again, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. My friends, Jesus is alive. Jesus is not dead. Jesus is on the throne. He is in control. He is in charge. He's got everything handled. You don't have to hang your head. You don't have to apologize for who you are. You don't have to apologize for who you're trusting. You just do what God has called you to do because Jesus is alive. See, there's some churches that teach that Jesus really didn't rise from the dead. That's a dead religion. My Savior lives. How do I know he lives? I talked to him this morning. Did you? He lives through the Holy Spirit living inside of me at this very moment. I serve a risen Savior. And because I serve a risen Savior, who knows everything and is in control of everything, he knows what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. He knows what's getting ready to happen to our nation. He knows what's going to happen to our states and to our cities and in our lives. And he's got it all handled. And he's whispering, he's saying, I'm here. Trust me. Let me be God. May I confess something to you this morning? Even if you won't let me, I'll do it anyway. I'm tired of being God in my own life. How many of you are with me? I'm tired of trying to figure things out. Now, there's some of you may have no problem with that whatsoever. I do. I do at times. I get worried and I get concerned. I'm tired of trying to be God. Because there's only two things in life that I know for sure. Two things. There is a God. And he's alive. And I'm not him. Amen. So he's speaking to this group of people who have trusted Jesus Christ your Savior. And then he says, you have a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then he says this. This is what you have looking forward to. An inheritance that's incorruptible, that's undefiled, that fadeth not away. You have a future home that we sang about this morning. When the roll is called up yonder, you've got something waiting for you that can't be touched by man's hands, that can't be stolen by the world, that can't be taken away by the government. Nobody can come into you and take what God has reserved for you through the blood of Jesus Christ. It can't be done. So then why as Christians are we giving up? Why as Christians are we so worried what the government is threatening to do? It's going to come a time, I'm telling you right now, there's going to come a time when they're going to attack Bible-believing churches in Bryson City, North Carolina, and they're going to tell the pastors, you can no longer preach against homosexuality. In Houston, Texas, the mayor wanted to pass a law to make the pastors give them the sermon notes from their sermons so they could not preach against homosexuality. In Texas! My friends, standing up for Christ is going to get more difficult and more difficult and more difficult. But it's a good thing! It's a wonderful thing! You're thinking, are you out of your mind? You know why it's a good thing? Because the Bible says, all that live godly shall do what? Suffer persecution. If you're living for Christ, it's going to happen. And so if you're getting persecuted for living for Christ, you can shout hallelujah and say, thank you, God, I'm serving you now. An old saying, and I don't know how accurate it really is, if the devil ain't knocking on your door, that means you ain't doing nothing for God. Now, I don't know how accurate that saying really is, but it makes some sense. The devil hates people who love God. The devil hates those who are serving God, and he will do anything and everything he can to destroy their lives and make them miserable. If you love Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution if you stand up for him. Now, I just got through saying that I look forward to the persecution. And you think, that's weird, because then we'll really find out who the true Christians really are. When they come in, and it's going to happen, and they say, hey, you can't preach against homosexuality, you can't preach against this, and you can't preach against that, because if you do, we're going to shut you down, then we'll really find out who's going to stand up for what's right. Or who's going to cower, and who's going to say, well, I really didn't know Jesus my Savior anyway, I don't have nothing to do with that. Look at China. Look at the things that are taking place in underground church. They're killing folks over there for standing up for Jesus Christ. They're busting into homes and shooting people and putting them in jail because they're worshiping Christ. I don't think that's happened here in Bryson City yet, has it? Now, I'm not going to ask you how many of you are armed, but I want you right beside me if you are. Amen. My friends, it hasn't come yet, but it's going to. But we don't have to worry, because they can kill our bodies, but they can't take our souls. See, what happens is we are pilgrims, Peter says, sojourners. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up where? Somewhere beyond the blue. You have more here on earth than you got up there? Because here it's going to be spoiled. It's going to be defiled. It's going to be corrupted. Up there, it's going to be beautiful and wonderful and undefiled. So who is Paul or Peter talking to? He is talking to blood-bought believers. Now, before I get to the next point, here's the situation. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've not been covered by the blood, by repenting of your sins and returning to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, if you've not done that, you don't have that reserved in heaven for you. You've got a place in hell reserved for you. Oh, come on now, preacher. That's not a very nice thing to talk about on Sunday morning when you're candidating into church. You're going to hurt people's feelings. You're going to drive us away. You're going to make us vote against you. Well, if you vote against me because I'm preaching the Word of God and what the Word of God truly says, then vote against it. Amen. But you don't have to remain headed for hell. You can remain and change and repent and be headed for heaven today at this very moment, this morning, by trusting Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. Can't make that any better. Amen. So he says, this is who I'm writing to. Now, stay in 1 Peter, and I want us to look at what we are to do. Look at chapter number 3. What we are to do. He's telling us who he's writing to, and then he's saying, here's how you ought to live. Now turn with me, if you would. Open your Bibles and look at this, okay? Because I want to show you what God's Word says. I want you to understand this is not the things I'm making up. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 8. Talking to those who are being persecuted. He says this, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, and be courteous. We as believers are to love one another. We're to lift one another up. We're to care more about the other person than we are ourselves. Believers, children of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, let's stop the fighting. Let's stop the arguing about things that don't matter, a hill of beans. we're fighting each other. Now, not this church, but we as Christians, we're fighting each other about things that don't matter. And the world is fighting us. And we're getting sick and tired of fighting. And we're getting wore out. We ought not to fight here. We ought to band together here and fight what's going on in the world. But it's not our strength. It's the strength of the Holy Spirit living inside of us to help us do that. Look what else he says. He says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereupon called that you should inherit a blessing. He says, listen, if you get done wrong, don't do wrong back. That's a hard one to do. Now, I'm not going to do it, Brother Todd. But let's say I come down here to Brother Todd. And say, you know what, Brother Todd? I love you. I've met him. I've had a great time with him. His flesh would say, oh, it's on, buddy. He'd want to get up and let's go to town. He'd whoop me probably. He's a lot younger. He's half my age. I'd get winded. I could maybe outrun you. Maybe. I doubt it. But he'd in the flesh want to get back up and hit me right back. And I would deserve to get hit right back in the face because, hey, I was foolish enough to rattle his cage. But brothers and sisters, we're fighting with each other and we're hurting one another with our words and with our actions because we've been hurt. And the world is laughing at us and it's saying, hey, we got them where we want them. We're fighting about the type of music. We're fighting about the type of dress. We're fighting about the color of the carpet. We're fighting about parking spaces. We're fighting about this and we're fighting about that. Well, this one said this and hurt my feelings, and that one did that and hurt my feelings, and so I'm not going back to church. I'm not going to talk to them. I'm just going to ignore them. I'm going to show them. Oh, my friends, when we get to heaven, there's not going to be a Methodist, Baptist, Church of God over here, and there's not going to be independent Baptist over here, and there's not going to be that group that's weird anyway, but you know, we're all going to be saints. I am not saying compromise the message. I am not saying that we ought to allow the things of the world into the holy place that God has placed here. But let's stop majoring on the minors and minoring on the majors. You are placed here as a bastion of light in Bryson City, North Carolina, to see people saved, to see them discipled, and to see the name of Jesus Christ lifted up in your community. That's why we're here. And all God's people said, and those in the back, amen, there we go. That's how we're to treat one another. That's what we're to do. We're not to fight and hurt each other. Because heaven's coming. The rapture could take place today. That's the next thing on God's agenda. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 clearly spells it out. I'm a pre-trib, pre-millennial. I thank God I'm not going to be here to the tribulation. Amen. The rapture is going to happen any moment. Are you ready? Now stay in 1 Peter. Go to chapter number 4 now. Peter continues to warn. See, we see who he's writing to. Here's seeing how we ought to react. And he continues in that thought process. Chapter 4, verse number 12. He says, beloved, speaking to Christians, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, though as some strange thing happened. He says, it's coming. Don't think it strange. Don't say, wow, where'd that come from? Expect it. It's coming. But rejoice. Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Jesus suffered. And he says, hey, I'm an enemy of the world. But I'm a friend of my people. Let me ask you a question. Who are you friends with? If you're friends with the world, the Bible says you're enemies of God. Now, I'm talking about friends, not friends as in people who are unsaved and you're not friends. I'm talking about if you're rubbing shoulders and you're adopting the things of the world and you're allowing yourself to be absorbed and taken in by the things of the world, and you're that's mean being friends with the world. Those aren't the things of God whatsoever. I do not believe a believer ought to be involved himself in pornography, in adultery, and in drunkenness. And I don't believe a believer ought to be into gossip and slandering and destroying one another. That's not a believer. A believer should not be involved in those things. It's more than just homosexuality and a transgender. It's way above that. Those are wicked issues. But we start talking about the secret sins that it's okay for a believer to. Let me share a prayer request with you about Sister So-and-so. Pray for her because you know what she's been doing? That's just as much of sin as homosexuality is. We're killing each other with kindness. We ought to love one another. And if the Holy Spirit has spoken to you this morning about gossip, come and lay your tongue on the altar. It might get dirty, but you'll be right with God. Amen? If you've got a problem with pornography, now gentlemen, don't look at me. Pious. It's out there. You cannot even open up a web search for something innocent without something wicked popping. You can't hardly drive down the highway anymore without some kind of a bikini-clad woman trying to sell a hamburger or a vehicle. It's there. But that does not mean we have to indulge in it. There's so much in the Bible the Holy Spirit tells us to do right. I don't have enough time to point my fingers in judgment of anybody. Because when I point my finger at you, guess how many fingers are pointing back? 3. The Holy Spirit does a good enough job revealing things to you. I don't need to reveal them to you. Just follow what the Bible says. Amen? Y'all happy? Amen. Look, he continues on. Verse number 15 says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's manners. If you suffer for those things, you're not being persecuted. You're suffering what you deserve to suffer. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Let me say that again. Judgment must begin at the house of God. It must begin here in our lives before we could ever be effective out there in others' lives. Not perfection, but judgment. When was the last time, brother, sister, that you got on your knees and you said, God, try me. God, speak to me. Show me in my heart if I'm wrong or if I'm right. Show me where I'm wicked. Show me where I'm wrong so that I can make it right with you. When was the last time you did that? If it's been a while, it's about time to clutter, get rid of the clutter in your garbage and get it clean, Jesus Christ. It's time. Because we cannot be effective for Jesus until we make ourselves what we are in His presence. For the time must come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it be first begin with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinners appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. There it is. Brother Brian, what do I do when I'm persecuted? Number one, you thank God. Say, thank you, God. I'm persecuted because I'm living for you evidently. Number two, you keep on doing right. You clean yourself up before God and say, oh, God, help me to continue to be what you want me to be. And then number three, you trust God because he knows what's going on. I'm going to close with illustration. The old frog in the pot. You put a frog, now kids, do not go home and do this. The proverbial frog in the pot. You get a pot of water, nice cold water, you put the frog in it, the frog is comfortable and just happy as a pig in mud. You can even put some lily pads in there and you can put some flies in there and he's just happy. And then you slowly turn that burner on, just slow enough. We all know what happens to that frog. He eventually cooks. Because as the fire is slowly turned up, he doesn't recognize it because he gets so absorbed in his surroundings that he eventually dies. Becomes frog legs. I'm afraid that's what's happening to the church. We're so absorbed in the things of the world, and we're so absorbed in our own little worlds and our own situations, that as the fires are turning up and getting heated, we're not noticing because we're so involved in everything else. How about let's peek over the side of the pot now and recognize it and realize who's got his hand on the throttle? That's Jesus Christ. Are you saved? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Have you trusted him? Hallelujah. But if you haven't, why not do it today? If you are saved, are you right with God? Are you where you ought to be? If not, why don't you come down this morning at an old-fashioned altar and give it to God and say, oh God, forgive me. I repent. I want to be what you want me to be. And if you've done that and you're living that way, why don't you just come down and say, God, thank you for being in control. Thank you, God, persecution's coming, but you've got it under control. Thank you, God. Can I share one more verse with you? Is it okay? I'm not getting paid by the minute. Amen? Let me show you. Go back to chapter 1 real quick. Chapter 1 real quick. Chapter number 1, verse number 5. Because I want to show this to you. It says that we who are kept by the power of God, God's power, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are kept by God's power. We're in God's hand. Nothing can stop that. Hallelujah. You can't jump out of it. Satan can't pry you out of there. You are kept by the power of God. And one day that's going to be revealed. And I praise God, he's going to do the revealing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ be praised. In his precious name, I deliver God's word to you. And all God's needs. Let's stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to turn the invitation over to Todd in just a second as the ladies make their way up to the instruments. I'm going to ask you to do something that you may not have done ever before. Maybe you haven't done in a long time. I'm going to ask you to step out of your pew and come help the altar right now. I'm going to ask you, number one, if Jesus Christ is not your Savior, won't you come? Won't you come and let somebody show you from the Bible how to know? It doesn't matter if you're a deacon. It doesn't matter if you've been attending this church all your life, but you're not saved. Won't you come right now? Won't you come and get it right and make sure? Number two, you know Jesus Christ your Savior, but you're away from God. Won't you step out and just come and admit it to God and say, oh, Father, please forgive me. Restore me to what I need to be so I can live for you. Maybe you need to come and pray and say, God, help me to stand stronger. Help me to be the example that you want me to be. Or maybe you just want to come and say, God, thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do. The altar is open. What are you going to do? are you going to respond to the Holy Spirit this morning? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what Jesus has done, is doing, and will do. Thank you for saving my sorry soul. I don't deserve it, but I thank you for your grace and your mercy. Now, God, speak to these wonderful people here this morning. Save them that need to be saved. Convict those that need to be convicted. Encourage those who need encouragement. And may you be glorified in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Won't you come now? Just step out and come. Don't come because somebody else comes. You come because God is